This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
It's Thursday, the 3rd of April. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. Well, the world has fundamentally changed with President Donald Trump's Liberation Day heralding a new era of U.S. tariffs on all imports into the United States. World markets are reacting badly as this signals the real start of a global trade war. Earlier today, Alec Hogg, the founder of BizNews, spoke to Joel Pollack, editor of Breitbart News, direct from Washington, to get the latest.
But Trump clearly feels that the world has been conducting trade relations at the expense of the United States, and he aims to restore parity and also to create a more hospitable environment for American manufacturing and for domestic workers, not to say domestic workers, but to the domestic labor force in the United States.
And South Africa, to single us out, we have been applying 60% tariffs on U.S. goods, according to the list that came out yesterday. And as a consequence, South Africa is now going to have to pay 30% tariffs on its goods that go into the United States. That's a heck of a chunk.
Right. And those calculations were made based on not just the official customs duties that are imposed by South Africa on American goods, but also other policies that are perceived as non-tariff barriers to trade. BEE is a non-tariff barrier to trade because it does prevent some American companies from doing business in South Africa. There are other non-tariff barriers to trade. If a country had any kind of tariff or non-tariff barrier to trade, the Trump administration has now imposed a reciprocal, or in most cases, half of a reciprocal tariff in response.
This is very serious for South Africa. I was looking at the numbers from the motor manufacturers, and the exports last year from South Africa into the United States of motor vehicles was worth 23 billion rand. If those are now going to be slapped with a 30% tariff, pretty much certain that they're going to be uncompetitive.
Well, Trump's idea is to bring that manufacturing to the United States. One way that companies can avoid having tariffs applied to their goods is simply to make those goods in the United States. Trump wants to rebuild the American manufacturing base. For the last 30 or 40 years, the American economy has moved towards specializing in services and specializing in kinds of white-collar jobs, office jobs, very theoretical jobs that don't involve manufacturing. And as a result, much of our industrial capacity has been outsourced to other countries, including especially defense production. There are important elements of defense production that rely on supply chains in other countries. And that poses a strategic problem for the United States. And so Trump wants to restore the domestic manufacturing base, the ability to churn out goods, if needed, on demand.
That full interview with Joel Pollack can be found on BizNews TV on the YouTube platform. Now, we have so much content coming our way every minute of every day with multiple platforms competing for our attention. And it's quite something when your attention is captured for a long period of time. Yesterday afternoon, I couldn't take my eyes off Parliament TV. You couldn't have scripted better drama. Here's DA finance spokesperson Mark Burke, who literally tore up his speech.
Madam Speaker, it's significant that this report was considered in yesterday's committee on the first day of April. A farcical day for a farcical process leading to a farcical report. Yet, it's a report that sadly is not an April Fool's joke. Madam Speaker, this House generates stacks of reports, agendas, and minutes of meetings which fill archives, servers, and libraries. Much of it meaningless, expensive, full of nothing documents that change very little for our people, a waste. But every now and then, Parliament has the ability to take regular A4 paper and give it remarkable power to change lives with laws, to table budgets, and because of the power in the Constitution and the Money Bills Act, gives Parliament the power to amend bad budgets. And yesterday we had the chance and almost the numbers to amend a bad budget. We could have fulfilled our constitutional duty to do so, to protect South Africans, to protect them from a budget that includes VAT increases, that doesn't move the needle enough for an efficient government that creates jobs and grows the economy. And that chance was spectacularly squandered. It was squandered by Action SA, the IFP, and the ANC, who voted on a version of a report which only came into existence hours after the meeting and the voting had concluded. Now, sure, supporters of this April Fool's Day farce are very quick to point out, while they accepted the fiscal framework, they're making recommendations to relook at tax increases. Madam Speaker, the archives are full of reports with ignored recommendations. Why don't we ask the Auditor General how delinquent ANC local governments across the country respond to their recommendations year after year? Why don't we ask those who worked on the Zondo Commission what they think the effect of their recommendations has been? After all, the Zondo Commission detailed how the Honorable Joe Maswangani was complicit in state capture. Yet that honorable member is here with us today. He spoke just earlier, and he chaired the farcical, procedurally flawed meeting yesterday. Reports in the hands of ANC-led governments mean nothing. We've been met with an ANC that's refused to upgrade the economy or to compromise. They don't want coalition partners. They want supplicants.
Glenn Beck.
Welcome, ASA.
Goodbye.
I will say one thing.
Order, honourable members.
I will say one thing about all the paper that Parliament generates, Madam Speaker. Even the reports and motions that achieve nothing do record our deeds or misdeeds. And what will they record now? Today, you, honourable members, have the same opportunity Action SA and the AFP had yesterday and squandered either for cheap political points or as victims of the saddest April Fool's joke in parliamentary history. So your choice is as follows. One, you can choose to vote for a report that keeps the fiscal framework as it is, that enshrines tax increases, enshrines bad economic policy, and supports the anti-poor, anti-growth, and anti-jobs ANC budget. Or two, you can support us in opposing this increase.
Support you.
As the DA, we will remain on course. We'll pursue an efficient government, growth and jobs, and vote firmly against the farce of, this farce of a report. We reject it with the contempt it deserves.
Where is that to you?
It's not worth the paper it was printed on.
Adding to the political drama is the indignant parliamentary leader of Action SA, Athol Trollip, who told BizNews editor Alec Hogg that over the 3 days leading up to the parliamentary hearings, the ANC had constantly been engaging with Action SA, whereas they had not heard a single word from the Democratic Alliance. Trollip says the DA is quick to blame everyone else when things don't go their way. Let's dip into the conversation.
We believe that the budget can be balanced with revenue that's already in the fiscus. It just needs to find different revenue streams and cut wasteful expenditure. There are a whole lot of reviews that have been tabled in Parliament over the last 5 to 6 years, expenditure reviews of where the government is wastefully spending money. And we said if they just simply implement some of those reviews and go and look for additional revenue, like with SARS collected a record amount of money last year. And we got the minister to allocate more funding to SARS in this budget, additional 4 billion rand. And SARS believes that there's nearly 800 billion rand on the table to be collected of undeclared taxes and declared taxes. So we believe that this budget can be balanced, and we've negotiated with the ANC to go back and Parliament and the Finance Committee to find ways to fund the budget gap, but not to increase VAT and not to have tax bracket creep. Now, Alec, what's interesting about this is that the DA says we've sold out because we've gone along with the ANC. Ironically, the DA said that they were going to save South Africa by joining the GNU. Now they're indicating they'll save South Africa by getting out of the GNU. So at some stage, people must understand that it can't always be the DA way or the highway. And the ANC have spent the last 72 hours speaking to us nonstop, absolutely nonstop. We had the casting vote in that finance committee. There are 11 members on there. The ANC has 4 votes, the IFP 2, the DA 2, MKP 2, EFF 1, and we have 1. The DA have not spoken to us, not one word over the last week, certainly not over the last 72 hours. So they're so arrogant that they think they can go to a committee and just get their own way. And if they don't, then they blame everybody else. They rolled the dice. They didn't win. They said to the ANC they would support the budget with the VAT increase on their conditions. The ANC said no. And now they're crying foul and calling everyone else traitors and sellouts. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Does this mean a reorganization of South African politics? In other words, you're not a member of the GNU. Are you going to join the GNU if the DA gets kicked out, etc.? Just help us through your thinking on that one.
Yeah. So, Alec, we're not a member of the GNU. We didn't join the GNU in June last year for very good reasons. We said that we wanted to be a constructive opposition. We are playing that role right now, as we showed in the committee yesterday. And the DA are having a federal executive meeting this morning, and I gather that they will be taking decisions about whether they will continue in the GNU or not. It will probably be untenable for them to do that, having voted against the fiscal framework yesterday. So it's unlikely that a party that votes against the fiscal framework will remain in the government that is to implement that fiscal framework. But that's up to the DA. Then if the DA does pull out, the ANC will have to look for other political parties to support their government, because then essentially we won't have a government. And, you know, today in Parliament, other political parties that aren't represented in the Finance Committee will also be voting one way or another. And, I think it's going to be a very important day for South Africa. But what we can't have is we can't have a situation where the DA is always the knight in shining armor, always promising that they'll fix things. And if they can't get their own way, they pull out and blame everybody else.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking, out of the ordinary.
Yesterday, the country's economists were also glued to Parliament TV, and StanLib's chief economist, Kevin Lings, says the chaos unfolding out of the potential breakup of the GNU could have devastating consequences for South Africa.
Now, the DA is going to have to make a difficult decision over the next couple of days. They can presumably still stay within the GNU, but if you stay within the GNU, what it means is that you're simply a passenger. You're not in charge, you're not driving, you're not deciding on the direction, you're simply along for the ride. Now, that's an uncomfortable position to be in. So anytime there's a significant disagreement on policy direction, and you as the DA, you disagree with the ANC, it's going to be difficult for you to flex your muscle to say, well, I'm not. I don't like this, and if I don't like this, I'm not going to support it, because the ANC can simply argue, well, you said that with the budget, and we got it done anyway, and so it does weaken your position in terms of the government of national unity. If you exit the government of national unity, obviously then you've got other risks that come into play, particularly around foreign investors' perception of South Africa's political stability, a concern about where government policy could end up going, and financial markets would presumably react even more adversely than they have already to a breakup of the GNU. So there's a lot of political uncertainty that has materialized as a result of this vote. So effectively, what's happened is you've dampened down the uncertainty regarding government finances and the budget framework, but you've ramped up the political uncertainty in a very substantial way. And that's not a great outcome, because the political uncertainty can do a lot more damage to South Africa's financial markets and to the general investment outlook. And things like credit ratings will be re-looked at, because clearly, if you don't have a stable government, then it's difficult to ups a country's credit rating, just as an example. So I think this is a difficult political environment we're going to enter into. I can see the political parties immediately after the vote saying, well, we've got clarity on how the budget's going to be implemented, and at least we can move forward. I think that's very short-term thinking. While we do have clarity on how the budget will be implemented, what we don't have is clarity on how the political framework is going to be managed. So financial markets reacted badly through this whole process. During the day, the rand weakened by just over 2%. The bond market weakened. The equity market weakened. Now, some of that may in part be related to the uncertainty around the tariff announcement by President Trump. But I think it is telling us a message, and that is markets don't like uncertainty. And I think we're going to be into a heightened phase of political uncertainty for a while. And even beyond that, we're going to be a bit unsure about what is the policy agenda of South Africa and how determined are they to implement that. Clearly, if down the line there were to be a decision by the ANC to then enter into another GNU with the MK or the EFF party, that would change the framework enormously. So remember what caused the initial positive feel around the last election outcome. It wasn't the fact that they formed a government of national unity with the DA. It was more that the ANC chose not to form a political alliance with the MK or the EFF party. That's what created the initial positive feel. And you could argue at this stage that persists. The ANC had an opportunity this time to partner with the EFF or the MK in order to get the vote through the National Assembly, and they didn't do that. So you could argue out of all of this that there's a low probability that the ANC would now lurch to the left and try and find different allies. I think there's a higher probability that they remain in a GNU with the smaller parties, that perhaps they don't represent quite 50% of the total vote, but they probably feel that they can manage it on that basis. And if they do come up with some sort of crisis, see if they can't reach a compromise. I doubt you're going to see now that the ANC decides that its best course of action is to partner with the EFF or the MK.
ETM's George Glynis is of the same opinion and cautions that the rand could come under significant pressure as the government of national unity comes under more and more pressure, as many investors may think that South Africa is no longer moving in the right direction.
I voted the budget 3 out of 10 when it was first proposed, and nothing has really changed. I don't believe this is the correct way to go. I think the bulk of the market is not going to enjoy a budget that increases the tax burden, possibly increasing tax non-compliance as a result of it. There were other options that they could have explored, most notably shrinking the size of the government relative to the tax base. That would have been a preferable way to go and a more sustainable one in terms of fiscal strategy. Going forward, I think what now follows is markets readjusting to a reality that very little has changed in the fiscal trajectory. Bonds have come under some pressure, the rand at the same time. It's going to be very interesting to see if the rand stages any kind of recovery from this. Much will depend on whether the GNU holds it together. At this point in time, there were some pretty inflammatory statements made by Finance Minister Gordhan Qwana, and overall, I would say that the GNU is under significant pressure now. You are effectively asking a big portion of the GNU to implement a fiscal framework that they didn't agree with in the first place, which is going to make things a little bit awkward. So I think there's a fair amount of risk priced into these markets, and I suspect that it's going to remain that way in the near-term future. A little bit concerning that the tax burden has risen against the backdrop of a global economy that's looking like it's on the verge of a slowdown, likely to be exacerbated by any Trump tariffs and aggressive fiscal consolidation that's happening in the US.
Another platform to take note of is my ANC's YouTube platform, where in a post-ANC NEC media briefing, ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula spoke of the urgency of having the budget to bring economic order to the country. But he also took the opportunity to comment on South Africa's international relations, highlighting the ANC's unwavering support of Palestine. Let's take a listen.
We recognize the fact that the conditions under which we operate in are not the same as before. We are now operating under the conditions of power sharing in what we characterize as government of national unity. And there have been issues among GNU parties around the issue of VAT, and as well as those who are outside. And we need the budget to be passed in order for us to proceed to govern and stabilize the economy and ensure that the economy remain stable and pursue economic growth. So we also reflected on global balance of forces and South Africa's foreign policy. The NEC engaged in a comprehensive geopolitical analysis. It reaffirmed that South Africa's non-aligned foreign policy and commitment to a multipolar world that respects sovereignty, promotes peace, and advances the developmental agenda of the Global South. The ANC condemned attempts to manipulate South Africa's domestic affairs through think tanks, economic threats, and political blackmail. South Africa's democracy, foreign policy, and transformation agenda cannot be dictated by external factors. The NEC welcomes South Africa's upcoming presidency of the G20 and reaffirmed that the country must champion inclusive economic development, African industrialization, and reform of global governance institutions. The ANC will strengthen ties with progressive international partners, defend the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, and promote African peace and unity. The NEC welcomed efforts to stabilize the DRC and reaffirmed South Africa's commitment to post-conflict reconstruction. The tasks before us are formidable as the ANC. We will strengthen our efforts with SADC, the African Union, BRICS, the G20, and other regional organizations and multilateral bodies to yield tangible outcomes for South Africans and our continent at large.
That brings us to the end of today's BizNews briefing. We'll be back on Monday with more context on the global and local front.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.